The reading tonight is taken from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. The church in Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord.
If there is anybody that doesn't know me, I'm Maggie. I'm married to Steve. We're part of the team at St. Giles and part of the wider church family of God, which is part of what we're going to be looking at this evening. We've got an amazing passage. I had to pick, so we have a choice now. Shall I just move away from this mic? Is that easier, Tim? We have a choice now as preachers just for the summer. So we get a chunk of Acts and you have to pick the bit to preach about, and it's quite a scary thought because you think, oh, I quite like that bit in there, and there's so much going on sometimes. But I've picked us an extract that I think tells us quite a lot about the work of God and the mission of the gospel of Jesus, and that fits in really well with things that we want to share with you from New Wine. So just give me a wave if you are somebody who reads the Bible in 1 year, the Nicky Gumbel Bible in a year. Anybody do that? So we are the most blessed because we read all these Acts chapters just before we started reading Acts for the church. So we're on our second walkthrough, if you noticed. And it's going, oh, I've read that recently. Oh, yeah, I read it a few weeks ago. So we're particularly blessed. But we're in this chunk in the middle of Acts today. And I just want to start with this verse. I've given you two versions of it because I really like the words in the second. I'm going to read it out to you. And I'm going to introduce this as the key verse. If you want to memorize a verse or dwell on a verse when you go home, this is Acts 11, 23, quite early in our reading. And this is the NIV, the version that you have. When he, Barnabas, arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. We're getting a glimpse into something that is about the ministry and the work of God. And this man comes and has a look, and he is just glad in his heart. And that's a bit of what I want to report back to you today about the work of God in the wider church, about the work of God that we see in this passage, and then about the work of God in our own lives. But listen to this. I really like this version of it. When Barnabas got there and saw what God had been kind enough to do for them, he was very glad. So he begged them to remain faithful to the Lord with all their hearts. Isn't that amazing? He saw what God had been kind enough to do. So we're going to take a few minutes just to have a look and see what some of these things are that God was kind enough to do among them. Because I'm not a very structured person in my head, I've had to become structured on paper. So this is what we're going to do together. We're going to look at the story of God and the church in Acts. A little bit about the story of God in the church at New Wine. And then we're going to end with the story of God among us here in the church in Northampton. And if I just jump back to the church in Acts, one of the things that you see right at the beginning as we read through these chapters, if you've been reading them, if you sign up, if you haven't done it already, we get a prompt every day to read a particular chapter or a couple of chapters. And you just begin to see the story of God unfolding. And what you see is a church that keeps on growing. It is not static. It's not staying even in the same place. It's not always talking about the same people. It's not always doing things in the same way. The church keeps on growing. The church keeps on learning. And the church literally keeps on moving for all sorts of reasons. And, you know, we are an Anglican church. We're a Church of England church here at St. Giles. We're part of a wider Church of England organisation. Steve heads up an area of the New Wine Network. So we're part of the network called New Wine, which is a body of Christians who work together for the mission of the church in the country. But what we're reading about in Acts does not look like an institution. It's living and it's active and things are changing all the time. It says just a little bit before our reading, the church in Judea, Galilee and Samaria had a time of peace and kept on worshipping the Lord. The church became stronger as the Holy Spirit encouraged it and helped it to grow. There's stuff going on all the time. And my heart tonight is that we'll just get a glimpse of the desire to become stronger as the Holy Spirit encourages us and helps us to grow here too. There's a real sense of watching God at work in all of the accounts, just because of the different ways that things are happening. And yet we see God at work in the lives, thank goodness, of very ordinary men and women who first came to put their trust in Jesus. They were a mixed bunch. If you look around politely enough, we're quite a mixed bunch. I think we could be more mixed, that'd be great. But we're a mixed bunch of people with different skills, different ages, different experiences of God even. Those are the very sorts of people that God used to bring this church to birth and to reach the good news of Jesus to others. And the gospel was going out to one place after another. It wasn't kept in. People were gathering in the name of Jesus. And through it all, we constantly see the work of the Holy Spirit. So just a few of my favourite snapshots from what we've been reading over these last few weeks. Peter has a vision through the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10. It's an amazing vision because it completely changes the mind of a Jewish believer about what it is God is asking him to do. And it stretches the growth of the kingdom of God, the growth of the church, to territory he wouldn't have considered because the Holy Spirit gave him a vision. Peter went around healing the sick. In fact, he was so effective that you read earlier in Acts that he didn't even need to be physically present. If his shadow touched you, you could be healed. Was that Peter, the fisherman? Something going on there, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen, had a tragic end. He was actually martyred. He's the first Christian martyr. And yet you read the words that the Holy Spirit gives him to speak before he dies. This eloquent, powerful, it must have been a cutting talk to hear from someone about to die, of his love for the Lord and his complete confidence in the gospel of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we have Philip who goes and he gets packed off somewhere strange. Go over there because someone needs to meet with me, says the Holy Spirit to Philip. And he toddles off and finds a man in a chariot struggling to understand the Bible that he's reading. And he's able to lead him to faith. The Holy Spirit at work so that the story of God is told throughout his church and through all of his followers. It's an amazing story, and I keep saying it's the work of the Holy Spirit because I want us to really grasp that this is not because these are very clever people who've been very carefully trained. This is God at work in people just like us. We're just going to have three little snapshots of the actual passages in front of us, just to have a bit of a look, first of all, at the work of God in the church in Acts. And where our reading begins, what we have is a group of people who actually haven't chosen to be in this place. They haven't chosen to be here at all. They've been scattered because of the terrible trouble that started when Stephen was killed. So there's a massive persecution breaks out. One of their numbers just being killed very publicly. And these people have run away. And it's those people going to find safety who then scatter to other towns and cities, taking the news of Jesus in their hearts and beginning to share it, that spread the message. Now you notice in this passage, interestingly, the first people, they arrive, settle among people just like them, and they tell the good news of Jesus to people just like them. So the gospel goes to the Jews. But then some of them, they go further, they go into Turkey, they go a bit further off, they go to where there are Gentile people. And they, because they've heard what happened to Peter, they tell the Gentiles too, and the good news goes to the Gentiles. It says the Lord's power was with them. Well, it would be, wouldn't it? Because they're pointing everybody they meet to Jesus. And so the Lord's power is with them. And it says many people put their faith in him. So you've got this picture, haven't you, of stuff going on and these ordinary people who you might say they're not particularly heroes of the faith, are they? They've run away. I don't blame them, but they've run away and they've gone to other places. But it hasn't kept the gospel quiet. It's gone with them. And so it's breaking out wherever they land. Something about God in them is just being expressed to the people around them. So I don't know what you'd do if that was happening in your town and people were telling people about Jesus and they were coming to faith. But the top bods, the leaders in Jerusalem, you might say the diocese, overheard that there was some growth going on. They thought, hey, up, better keep a check on this. These are not skilled people. We haven't sent them. Let's find out. So it says in our next passage, the next bit of this story, they send for Barnabas and they say, you better go and have a look and make sure this lot are okay, what they're doing is okay. And then Barnabas is so impressed with what he sees that he sends for Paul and says, you better come down and have a look at this. When Barnabas got there and saw what God had been kind enough to do to them, that's our verse from the start, he was very glad. He begged them to remain faithful to the Lord with all their hearts. Barnabas was a good man of great faith, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Many more people turned to the Lord when he got there, but don't forget, many more had already turned. And then he came to see what God had done. And then the two of them, Paul and Barnabas, stay. And it's interesting that they stayed for a year and they taught them. These are people who'd never been with Jesus. The runaways had brought the gospel to them. They've heard for the first time. So what do these great apostles do? They settle with them and they teach them for a year. You know, the work of God, it does need wisdom, not just a response, not just emotional response. You may remember the parable of the sower where sometimes seed just grows up really fast and that's what they've seen. But actually Barnabas and Paul want to give it soil and roots so that it can stand and withstand and continue to grow. So they stay. And they strengthen the disciples and they teach for a year. And you notice again that even more people come to faith. There in Antioch, the Lord's followers were first called Christians. So we get our title from this early church and from the work of these amazing people. So the gospel is growing through ordinary people who then sit under the teaching of people who've gone ahead of them, and the church continues to grow. It's quite interesting what happens next in this ordinary church. During this time, some prophets from Jerusalem came to Antioch. One of them was Agabus. With the help of the Spirit, he told them there would be a terrible famine. And it says it did happen. It tells you that in the verse. So they then begin to receive spiritual gifts in the body of the church. But they don't only hear them, they respond to them. So this baby church, this new church, begins to bear fruit. So prophets speak to them, the people listen and they honour God because it's the Holy Spirit at work, and they respond in very practical ways. So this is not a super, super spiritual group of people. They're doing some ordinary stuff. They decide that they've got to help the people suffering from this famine. So they have a collection. They raise money. They give gifts. Maybe it was food and products as well. They give it to leaders and they say, take it to where it's needed. So can you see that cycle of these early Christians have come to faith, they've matured in their faith, and now they're living out the gospel, not just becoming Christians, but living out. It's made a difference, and other people would see that. The people who turned to the Lord grew, then they gave away, and God continued to work among them. So we join in the story of the church that God began in Acts, that God had begun to do in Acts. And we get to be part of the same story. We have the same good news of Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, the same mission to carry Jesus with us wherever he sends us in the world, not just in here. But these stories really clearly show us that it's God who's at work by his Spirit, and that we are simply and graciously invited to join in. I don't know about you, I just find that hugely helpful. You see, there are days when we think we've got it together a bit, and then something happens and we realise we haven't. And the more we realise that we are utterly, utterly dependent on the goodness of God, and the more that we can say with Barnabas, we saw that God had been very kind to us and we were glad, the more open we are to receiving what God has for us, I think, because we've got out of the way and we've seen that it's all him in the end. So you remember I had 3 points. Point two, the story of the Church of God at New Wine. So put a hand up just so everyone can see. There's only a few of us here, I think, tonight that were at New Wine last week or the week before. So how many of us is that? Yeah, we mostly gravitate into the front and the back. So we've missed you out in the middle. We had a great time at New Wine. And one of the things that God was very kind to do to us at New Wine was that he blessed us from the minute we landed. Because unbeknown to us, we arrived on day one of what should be a 7-day conference. And the last 2 days were cut because the winds and gales and storms that were forecast threatened the whole site. And the leaders, with great kind of advice and all the rest of it, took some time and prayed and then said, we've got to close. And we were all sent home early. So there's a little lesson, which is if God opens up an opportunity to be fed, grab it, because you don't know how long it will be there. So we jumped in with both feet, really, and just experienced something amazing of the presence of God. But I just want to tell you a little bit about what I noticed at New Wine. So if you don't know, New Wine is a conference. It's been running for 30 years. It's just moved to Peterborough. It used to always happen down south. They want to make it more central and available to more of the nation, really. And they're a group of churches who want to change the nation because of the power of Jesus at work in individual churches and in individual lives. And in common with what I've just told you about the chapters in Acts, what I saw at New Wine was a real spirit of humility. It was actually really lovely to see the leaders on the first couple of days stand up, whether they were worship leaders or speakers or the main guy, Paul Harcourt. Becky's been here to speak to us, actually, his wife. Paul Harcourt standing up and just getting out of the way of God. And just as a very gracious, humble guy. You know, I absolutely believe, for me, that the lack of kind of posturing at the front, the lack of celebrity status, as Steve said, there was none of that really. The lack of that just opened the door for God to just pour in, because nobody was taking his place and the door was really open. So a real spirit of humility, a real message which will be a great encouragement to some of you tonight, a real message about boasting in my weakness. If you feel disqualified in any way from the mission and the ministry of the kingdom of Jesus, there was a guy there who could out-trump you any day, saying, look at my life. And he gradually spelled it out. And you think, how can he even stand up? How can he stand up in front of people? How can he even be faithful to the message of the gospel after what he's been through? And he said, I'm just telling you this so that you know it's all about him. And openness to the Holy Spirit. That was one of the other things that was very apparent from the first night, really. They were just saying, let's get out of the way. Let's surrender any agendas we have. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and do whatever it is he wants to do in us. And in fact, that was even the pattern of their prayer ministry model, not about particularly asking God to do certain things to certain people, but just saying, let's bring people to the presence of God and ask him to do whatever he wants, and just being willing to receive it. There was a real restoration of an equipping to go out, a real message about going out. A real sense that what we captured in the buildings, in the marketplaces that we met, the phenomenal volume that you get with 5,000 people and a mega band on the stage, that wasn't it. That was just meeting with God, ready for the real work, which was outside when we all went home. And a real generosity, a generosity of spirit to other churches, other denominations, to small churches, to new churches. A generosity to raising up new, younger leaders, new church plants, and to the wider mission overseas as well. A real generosity of giving. There was a really good heart at New Wine this year. So remember that key verse about what God was kindly doing, what Barnabas saw. What were the things that God was kindly doing? What was he doing for me? And I'll just share this, and then you can perhaps just think about where that might take you. So a guy called Jordan Seng, you can look him up if you really want to hear a testimony that I don't think anybody will ever outdo of just how awful life can be, and yet God can be in the middle of it. This guy's testimony was tremendous. He was abandoned as a baby by two parents who had met in the kind of 60s hippie culture. It can't have been 60s. Yeah, 60s hippie culture. Had a really tough life. But here he was faithfully pointing to Jesus and planting churches all over the place. Not without struggle, but it was an amazing thing. And that really spoke to me that I think I can do anything. Well, why not just give that up? Because this man had got it all taken away from him, and God had done amazing things. So a real challenge to give things up. A real challenge for me about being fully surrendered to him, whatever the circumstances. Now, my circumstances are great. I am living in a season full of babies and toddlers and grandchildren and family, which, you know, is I'm aware, enviable, and it's lovely. But I stand alongside every Sunday people whose lives are full of trouble and real hardship and real testing and trial. And yet a woman there stood and talked about just that scenario and said, and God has met with us in the middle of this. And she again stood and was able to speak. And that really has helped me to take a different position alongside people like that. I've mentioned already an expression of humility, and I think Paul Harcourt's a great example to us and to us as leaders in this church, and something that we need to really pursue together here. And then there's just something about the amazing grace of God. I am not, and you may be like me, I'm not somebody who, just because somebody prays, come Holy Spirit, at the front of a meeting, immediately feels or experiences anything every time. It's not guaranteed for me. I don't always find that. Sometimes it takes me to the fourth or fifth night of a big conference to get over myself, really, and to just be able to just say, well, whatever, Lord, you have for me, I'm just here. But for all the reasons I've told you, that happened for me on the very first night, and suddenly you have this this overwhelming sense that God is just waiting to pour out his spirit on us. It's just so easy to jump in. So the lesson for me is just don't wait to day six, because day six didn't happen. Jump in on day one. And whether you feel it or not, just make yourself available to him. So the key is then that it's not us. It's all about him. It's all about what the Lord is doing. It's about watching what he's doing. Even in prayer ministry, getting out of the way of our own words and saying, Lord, what are you doing in this person that I can see you doing? It's about his offer to fill all of us. We don't get disqualified because of our weakness, because we're new, because we're younger, because we haven't learned everything yet. That we stand together, not just all of us here, but we do stand together here, but all of us alongside the thousands that worship there and the millions that worship around the world. We stand together worshiping one Jesus. I got a picture, I think, of the stage at New Wine. So you see, they had this whole united to worship the one. And then on the stage, the next picture. This was our view of the stage. Steve was sort of snapping this from halfway back. Just this united in worship, all of us together, but worshiping the one Jesus. That was their key there. That was the key thing they were saying. Uniting thousands to worship the one. How amazing that we get to be part of that even here in Northampton. So just to bring it home to us. You see, we've read a story that God has been writing for us. He's written it in the Bible for us to have, of his kindness and his work and his power and the way he used people and his gift of the Holy Spirit. And then faithful witnesses have encouraged us again about that at New Wine. And we've seen it in action. Some of us have tasted it and felt it again. And then we're here. Each of us here and each of us part of this still going on story that God is still writing. So your invitation, every one of you tonight, is to continue to allow God to write his story through your life. He chooses to use us. So I'm going to make a little bit of a suggestion just based on these little 4 points here. These are just thoughts about how we might try and do that. You see, it occurs to me that New Wine is quite a rarefied atmosphere, really. It's a way. It used to be more a way. When it was down at Shepton Mallet, you drove down into this kind of valley, countryside place, and it was a bit like God was trapped there with you. And then you went home, and home felt somehow completely different. But Peterborough's just around the corner. We've just toddled home. We're the same people. It's the same God. We have the same mission, the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit. But we face more normal things tomorrow morning, probably. Some of us are going to go home to family. We might have family that we're serving or we're honouring or we're working with. Some of us are going to a workplace. We have careers that God has led us into. We have colleagues God has put us alongside. Some of us serve here in the church. A few of us, a bit like Paul and Barnabas, the few get to serve in the church all the time. But for most of us, that's not our story, is it? But like those early people who got sent away and took Jesus with them wherever they go, you also get sent from here tonight to wherever it is God has placed you. And if you land there full of him, what will he do? How will he use you to share his word with people, for your life to be a witness for them, for you to have an opportunity to speak for him? How will he continue his story in you? So I'm going to suggest firstly, you have to step in to faith in this Jesus. Everywhere the people went in Acts, they find people who haven't yet heard about Jesus. It may be that that's you here tonight. And if it is, will you choose to just step in and say, do you know what, this Jesus sounds amazing. Come and speak to any one of us at the end that you see involved and just say, what do I need to do to just come to faith in Jesus? Step in and join this story and allow him to turn your life into part of his mission to invite the rest of the world. Everyone is invited in. And then offer up, just offer your life to him again. That's the lesson that I learned, I think. Just get out of the way. Just say, Lord, whatever thought I might have had, Lord, it's yours. This life, Karen and Hannah, whatever lies ahead of you, just say to God, this is your life. Whatever you want for us, we're here. Because that's the thing that seems to open up the door to him filling us again. Lay down, Steve said this far more eloquently than I've got time for tonight, but lay down anything in me, anything in you that thinks you don't need him, that actually thinks in your area of ministry, actually I'm quite good at this because God sent me and I'm really good at that and I can do it. Because in the end, we can't really without him. We need to step aside and lay down our pride so that he can really fill us. And finally, and really simply, they just model this at New Wine. They just say, just shut your eyes and hold out your hands. It's a really vulnerable thing to do, to say to God, well, will you? Will you fill me? Will you come? And I want to say with absolute confidence, because he did it last week, and he did it in even me, and he did it in rooms full of thousands of people, he did it for children, that he will come. So we're going to listen to a song in a moment. It's a song about love. It starts at step one. It starts with reminding us that we are all deeply, deeply loved by Jesus, the one who came and gave his life for us. The reason he sends us to others is they don't know that yet. And he wants them to. He wants them to be part of it. He wants to spread that around. So let's deepen our sense of that love relationship with Jesus. And then as it's playing, you don't have to sing. It's just going to be on the screen. As it washes over you, just do what you can with those other steps, just to offer up your life to him. To get out of the way of anything that sort of comes to mind that is a barrier to him working fully in you. And just be ready. And then when this song comes to an end, we're just going to invite him to come. And trust that he will. See, God has been writing a story from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, and he's continuing it here with you and with me. But he wants to meet with us and help us to do it fully. So let's just take part in this act of worship as we listen to this song together now. Amen.